Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, we are for another hour after that crazy Cubs clinch, as they are in the air still on their way to L.A. The segment brought to you by Amazon. Your chance to start earning extra money begins now. Apply to be a part-time associate in Crest Hill at Amazon.com/JolietJobs. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer. We'll transition to Bernstein and Goff in an hour. Our next guest, he is simply the best baseball beat writer in the country. He covers the Dodgers for the L.A. Times, and he joins us ahead of the NLCS, Cubs and Dodgers, on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. His name is Andy McCullough. What's up, Andy?
Daniel, how are you?
Very well, sir.
See, I started reading Andy when he was in Kansas City, so I know you guys go back there.
We go back to Syracuse as well.
Oh, look at that.
Same year at Cuse.
Look at all of that. You know, we were talking about Wade Davis this morning, Andy, and I know you both saw Wade Davis do what he did in the LCS. Which year was it? Was it 14 or 15?
15.
When he pitched an inning on either side of a rain delay and finished a game. And then you saw what he did last night with the seven outs. Where do those two things rank, Andy, for all-time relief pitcher accomplishments in the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, they're both, pretty impressive. I think the performance in the LCS stands out because he pitched basically the entire ninth inning with two runners on, because he struggles to hold runners, and I think he gave up a couple hits, and so he had two guys in scoring position the entire time. But last night was pretty impressive, too. I mean, I'm very curious to know what would have happened if, that replay at first base hadn't been overturned. You know, I think that would have been very interesting seeing him facing Trey Turner in that spot. But yeah, I mean, Wade Davis, has a lot of talent. He has a lot of heart. He's one of the best relievers in baseball for a reason.
You wrote the best thing I've ever read on Wade Davis, how he tricks people and sets them up and all of that. Like, anecdotally, what can you share with us about Wade Davis? Because he's a tough guy to get to know.
Yeah, I mean, Wade keeps to himself. I would say I had a better relationship with him than a lot of people have had over the years. I mean, I think, the thing about him in Kansas City was he still thought of himself as a starter. He had been a starting pitcher for so long that, he still had that mindset. And so he applied that sort of study and, planning to his approach that I think a lot of relievers don't have. A lot of relievers kind of come in and say, like, I have, most relievers have like two pitches, really. Some have three. I believe Wade has four. But relievers come in and say, hey, I need my cutter to work. I need my slider to work. My fastball works. I'll go with what works. Whereas Wade, I think, would be a little more game planning in terms of this is what the guy's weaknesses are. This is how it matches up with my strengths. You know, it's more similar to what you would see a starting pitcher would do. And you combine that with, four plus pitches, and, that's what you get. I mean, that's why he has been so dominant in this transition over the past, 4 or 5 years.
Andy McCullough is our guest, covers the Dodgers for the LA Times. So, we got all sorts of turmoil and questions, and it took five games, and there was an emergency landing in Albuquerque, and you guys, 7 days since Kershaw pitched, sweep the first round and all that. Is there any drama on the Dodgers side of this series?
Corey Seager's banged up, so that is something definitely worth monitoring. He didn't work out yesterday. He didn't work out the day before that. He's got his back is sore from a slide in game three. He's been dealing with elbow issues for a couple months now. So that's the main thing. But other than that, the Dodgers are they're in pretty good shape. Kershaw's rested. They didn't even have to use Alex Wood in the first round. And Alex Wood's been an excellent pitcher for them. They've got their bullpen lined up. They can set up their rotation however they want. So, yeah, I mean, they're in a good spot. And, much like the Cubs last year, when the Dodgers kind of had to, expend themselves just to get to the second round, the Dodgers get to rest up and enjoy the spoils of being the number one seed.
All right, you mentioned the bullpen. Kenley Jansen is that guy who can go forever to finish a game as needed, as that was last year's Nationals failure in their Game 5 of the NLDS. But before you get to Kenley Jansen, how many people are really trusted in that bullpen? Josh Fields, Brandon Morrow, what's the circle of trust right now for Dave Roberts?
Yeah, that's something that I think they have, you know, they may have just figured out. And the guy who's sort of like the X factor would be Kenta Maeda, you know, who you remember from the Cubs destroying as a starting pitcher in the postseason last year. You know, Maeda is a fairly, you know, average starting pitcher, but has, you know, been really, really sharp in relief, you know, here in the postseason. It's only two outings, but, you know, this is a time for small sample sizes. And so I think, you know, Maeda is a guy who can get righties who they kind of trust against lefties, but they really trust against righties. That adds a weapon that I think they weren't sure they would have. And so you combine him with Morrow, who's been really, really good for them all year. I mean, Morrow's given up one home run all season. And then they have their, you know, the two Tonys they acquired at the All-Star break, or the trade deadline, excuse me, Tony Watson and Tony Cingrani, the two lefties. And so right there, you know, you've got, you know, four guys who can kind of build a bridge to Jansen, which, you know, is enough, I think, in a five-game series. In a seven-game series, it's definitely going to be tested. But I think they feel fairly confident about how the bullpen sets up right now.
Is the obvious answer to the biggest differences between the Dodgers team that the Cubs are getting this year from last year, Cody Bellinger?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's definitely, you know, the biggest, you know, addition the Dodgers have made. You know, the guy's a, you know, rookie sensation, was an all-star, all that sort of stuff. But I also just think, you know, the Dodgers are, they're going to be set up in the right way. So Kershaw's not going to be pitching on short rest. You know, they're not going to have to start Maeda twice. They also have Yu Darvish, you know, who's a pretty good player. So I think Darvish and Bellinger are the two biggest, you know, personnel additions. But that combined with the rest, I think, is what sort of changes the dynamic of the series.
It's a ridiculous embarrassment of riches in the outfield. It still is, isn't it? I mean, how much have Yasiel Puig's skills decayed? Because I see him, you know, that triple where he's like, you know, the tongue is wagging around. He looks blindingly fast from home to third still. I still see great arms. What is the status of Yasiel Puig right now?
You know, Puig's actually had a good year. I mean, he was really mediocre last season. You know, they sent him to the minors. There was a lot of talk about how they were basically going to give up on him, and they couldn't find anyone to make a trade with, really. You know, they wanted to trade him at the deadline, and they couldn't find a fair deal, so they stuck with him, and he's rewarded them with a pretty good season. You know, he has a chance to win a gold glove. He's got like an 800-something OPS. He hit, you know, 28 homers, and he's been really, really helpful for them. Both in the field and at the plate. And his discipline has gotten better at the plate. He's not, just getting so choked up thinking about Puig.
it's emotional.
It means a lot to me. He's been a slightly better behaved than he has been in years past. There's still been some incidents, some benchings and stuff like that, but that's kind of part of the package. And, you know, he brings a lot of energy. He was really dynamic for them in the first round. So, Puig is a flawed player, but he still has a ton of talent, and it's kind of come together this year in, you know, what may be his best full season.
How will so he's rested, he's great, but it was a career high in home runs allowed for Clayton Kershaw. Like, what version of him are we getting, and how is he going to be used in this series?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question. That's almost, it's like almost more of a question for how the Dodgers will handle him. I mean, I wrote about this today, how it's basically a question of whether Dave Roberts will treat Clayton Kershaw the way he treats all of his starting pitchers. And that is, you know, with sort of ruthless efficiency in taking him out of the game, you know, and trusting the bullpen in those leverage moments. And Dave has at times, you know, stuck with Kershaw maybe longer than he should have in the postseason. You know, if you look at Kershaw's history, you know, there's this sort of perception that he's, you know, had a bad postseason career. I think that's, you know, fairly inaccurate. He's had, you know, half a dozen really good starts and half a dozen, you know, bad to mediocre starts. And a lot of the bad to mediocre starts center around the seventh inning. You know, he has a, as a starter, he has a 25.50 ERA, you know, in the seventh inning in the postseason. It's basically all in the seventh inning. And, you know, there's an easy way to avoid that. It's to send a reliever to start the seventh inning, you know, if you sense him tiring. And, you know, they didn't do that in game one against the D-backs. You know, when Kershaw had gone through six innings, he'd given up two solo shots but was mostly cruising. They sent him back out with a five-run lead in the seventh, and he gave up, you know, solo homers to Kettle Marte and Jeff Mathis. And, you know, partially it's like the balls are juiced and more guys are hitting homers than ever before. But, you know, Kershaw gave up, you know, a career high in homers. His stuff has ticked down a little bit. His fastball velocity is down a little bit. His slider location is not as sharp as it was before. And so, you know, he can be vulnerable. And so it's up to the Dodgers to recognize that and understand that it's not 2013 anymore, and they have to manage, you know, him a little differently than they might have in the past.
I'm told you have interesting Joe Maddon thoughts, so we're going to get to those in a moment. Because that's always good to hear.
I like to think that they're mainstream Joe Maddon thoughts at this point. I was ahead of the curve on this one.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, hang tight on that for a second. We just went through a series where Daniel Murphy and Bryce Harper loomed, and we still don't know who the best lefty out of the Cubs' pen would be to go against those guys. Still don't know. And as I look at the splits for the Dodgers, looks like Corey Seager is actually pretty good against lefties. Cody Bellinger is actually pretty good against lefties, too. I mean, do either of those guys call for a lefty specialist, or because their splits are fairly even, do you just go with the best arm mostly against those guys?
I think if you have, like, a good lefty specialist, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like any, you know, Joe left-hander is going to get them out, but, you know, both were tied up pretty well or at least Bellinger was tied up pretty well by Robbie Ray in the first round. Seager had some good at-bats against him, but, you know, didn't have any hits. And so, if, you know, if there's an elite left-hander lurking in there, like, you know, like the ghost of Justin Wilson or whatever, you know, that would work. But I think just sending up the, you know, the Sammy Solises of the world is not going to get the job done.
Yeah, there you go. Sammy Solis, inferior lefty, but hey, he's a lefty, so let's use him in a big moment. Right. And that,
I mean, you're talking about, like, Seager and Bellinger are elite hitters. I mean, so, you know, you're going to need to get them with, you know, top flight talent. They're not just going to, you know, lose to the, you know, the bad lefties.
So steal yourself for more CJ Edwards in big eighth innings.
Sweet.
Everybody.
Andy McCullough covers the Dodgers for the LA Times. Joe is a great chemistry manager who a lot of people actually somehow lost faith in after he won a World Series because of some objectionably bad decisions. Your thoughts on who has the managerial advantage in this series?
Oh, I think the Dodgers have a significant tactical advantage. I mean, I think, you know, Joe Maddon has shown himself to be, you know, somewhat limited tactically over the past couple of years. And I think the Dodgers have shown themselves to be pretty advanced in terms of that stuff. It's not going to make the difference. I thought, you know, I thought Roberts outmanaged Maddon last year in the CS, and it didn't make a difference. It's going to be about which team is better. But I do think, you know, in the small edges and things like that, the Dodgers are going to have a fairly significant advantage.
You are a very well-sourced reporter. You said you think it is the industry consensus at this point. What do you think is the industry?
I was more saying, like, people have noticed that Maddon is actually not very good tactically in a way that I think it was kind of a, you know, most people hadn't really realized it at this time last year. It was just something that really stood out, you know, last postseason, and, you know, in the first round it stood out again. Just, you know, it's like the little things. It's like letting Kyle Hendricks bat, you know, when you're in a, you know, situation like that. And it's like, it's worked out. You know, he, you know, taking out Quintana after two batters and sending, you know, Wade Davis for a 7-out save when it was fairly clear that, you know, Davis was going to be on fumes by the end. And, you know, Davis got through it. So it's like a credit to him, and it's a credit to his manager for believing in him. But, you know, looking at it from, like, a game theory perspective, it's not ideal.
So, and this extends beyond bullpen usage. It extends to other stuff, as you said.
Yeah, it's like hell in the World Series last year? Like at the home games at Wrigley, he found one at bat for Kyle Schwarber and, you know, couldn't get him into the two other games. It's just like the little things, the small edges. It's, you know, it's sending Hendricks to bat for himself. It's letting, you know, Jake Arrieta bat for, going up to, in, I think it was game three of the CS last year when, like, Arrieta was clearly gassed and should have been taken out after four innings. You know, it's just like little marginal things that can make a difference. And if the talent gap is, you know, as significant as it was last year, it won't make a difference. But at a time like this, when the Cubs are kind of going to need every edge they have, I they're going to be a little short.
Well, that leads to manager value questions overall, you know, and I believe that atmosphere and, you know, the atmosphere providers, they matter an awful lot. But where are you on how much Dave Roberts is better than Don Mattingly and what kind of effect that has had for the Dodgers?
I mean, I think, I will say, you know, I do think what managers do outside of the dugout is probably way more important than what they do in game. But in October, we've kind of reached the, you know, the tactical portion of the exam. You know what I mean? Like, this is kind of the time when tactics matter the most. And so I do think, you know, the Dodgers have built a culture where they have guys willing to buy in. They have guys willing to sort of go outside their comfort zones and have success in that role. We've seen a lot of guys, you know, sort of go outside their comfort zones this postseason and maybe not have a ton of success. And I think one of the things the Dodgers try and do on a daily basis all regular season is, you know, test their players, is, you know, force them to, you know, do things that maybe they don't want to do so that when they're asked to do them, you know, in the postseason or, you know, in times of need, they'll feel comfortable with it. And so I think that's a credit to Dave Roberts, but, you know, it's also a credit to Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi and, you know, the front office and sort of the culture they've built. So, you know, look, the Cubs obviously have a really good culture. It's not, you know, I mean, I'm not saying like Joe Maddon should be fired. He's done a good job in a lot of different ways. It's just tactically, I think the Dodgers are going to have a pretty significant advantage.
It's the Charlie Weiss approach, the significant schematic advantage.
When he got the job at Notre Dame, we'll have a significant schematic advantage over everyone that we play because I'm Charlie Weiss.
Man. Yeah, is that how it went?
It was pretty smug. Yeah, it didn't work out for
I'm
him.
I'm trying to think back.
Do I come across as a smug Angelino? I don't mean to.
I think it's a rule when you land there, they give you a smug cape, and you just kind of have to wear it. I'm trying to remember Dave Roberts last year. How many people did he walk to get Joe Blanton against Miguel Montero?
Yeah, I mean, that move did not work out. But I think if you look at things from a results perspective or you look at things from yes. like a GTO perspective, it was actually somewhat genius.
I know. Well, actually, what happened was that Joe Blanton, in a moment, regressed to what Joe Blanton had been for, like, the previous 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Blanton, after being fairly excellent all year, picked a bad time to hang a slider. It didn't work out. Like, I'm not saying Dave Roberts is perfect. I just think he's a much better in-game manager than Joe Maddon.
What's the Twitter account again?
I don't even know. Yeah. McCullough.
I mean, if we want to actually like sit here and like point out like things managers did on individual basis, like in the postseason, like we can talk about how Joe Maddon sent John Lester into a game as a reliever with a man on base.
Hey.
There's literally one thing on this planet that John Lester can't do. Old runners, and Joe Maddon put him in a position to fail, and guess what? He gave up a run. So, like, we could do this all day going back and forth. I just, you know, I'm not here to defend Dave Roberts. I was asked my opinion on a Cubs manager.
No, we understand. A lot of those were with you on, actually.
Game 7 stands on its own. I'll never forget Theo Epstein saying, in this instance, I'll take the results over the process. You know?
Yeah, it was a total catastrophe.
Yeah.
And, like, it worked out because his players are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So if they win this series, it'll be because the Cubs players are better.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, guys. This was great.
We'll do it again as the series goes on. Andy McCullough, the terrific beat writer for the LA Times, covering the Dodgers. You should read his stuff. He's fantastic, and I love his snark and his opinion.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, people are like, oh, what a homer for the Dodgers. There is no one who I've ever met who cares less about whether or not the team he's covering wins or loses. Like, just, he's a cynical bastard who has had some of the joy sucked out of his life.
You know,
he does not care if the Dodgers or the Cubs win.
The tactical advantage overall is a rather, you know, remarkably arrogant place to go, considering the entire coaching staff staff in the front office and everybody takes part in it, right? Everybody, and I'd say the Cubs front office and the Dodgers front office right up there, along with the Astros, for being some of the smartest tactically in all of baseball. In the end, though, sometimes that manager has to make the call completely on his own, which is why we've seen execs from every team going crazy in the luxury suite.
We have overs and unders at the end of the hour. Time for your reaction and interaction on Cubs and Dodgers. 312-644-6767. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
A series of bad events.
How Dusty Baker described last night's game for the Nationals. Audio brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. We'll talk to Bernstein and Goff in 30 minutes. Overs and unders for both two Cubs games this weekend and a Bears game.
Yeah.
So we got the eight over-unders like normal, but it's basically the great Chicago sports weekend. A little hodgepodge coming up in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, man. It is always available. The complaint department at the baseball department store is always available for every manager of every team in every series. It's pretty awesome. There's one guy texting in like 30 different things that he thinks Joe Maddon did wrong, like in this series alone.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are extremely well thought out.
I mean,
there's stuff. There's always stuff.
We were laughing at the tone of McCullough, and I used to have Andy on my show every single week when I was in KC and he was in KC. Like, we have that banter where we go back and forth with each other. It's not, we weren't best friends in college or anything like that, like people were saying, but he is relentlessly logical and, yes, cynical, but again, very well sourced and well reported on stuff. Joe Maddon, tactically, it is not one of his greatest strengths. We've questioned him on tactical stuff before. And the thing with Hendricks batting earlier, that is indefensible.
Yeah, yeah. And brought it up earlier.
We brought it up earlier. So and we've talked plenty of times about the stuff in last year's postseason.
Sure.
But the team has been such a juggernaut with Joe in the regular season that a lot of the regular season tactical stuff doesn't matter at all because the team's so talented, and then they've overcome a lot of it in the postseason.
Right. And I mean, there's a ton of different things. But when every single one of your relievers walk somebody like they did last night.
Yes, last night was not a good spot. And we've disagreed on this before, Andy. And I am much later to call out a manager than he is because I just think that I don't think that they have as big of an impact on the actual game. Clubhouse culture, all of that stuff, making sure that, you know, he knows who's healthy and not healthy and how many innings a guy can go, sure. But in terms of the strategy, it takes a lot for me to say that a game was swung based on a managerial decision.
Some texters coming to Maddon's defense, as are a few phone callers coming to Joe Maddon's defense.
Let's go to Tim in Flossmoor. Tim, you're on the Spiegel and Parkin show.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good morning. How are you? I enjoy listening to you guys every day on the drive in to work.
Thank you, Tim. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling in response to what that guy was saying from the Dodgers newspaper or whatever, wherever he's from.
L.A. Times.
Yeah. I understand, I mean, some of what he's saying, but a lot of times when Joe makes these decisions, you know, he's thought them through, or he has people around him to help him make the decision. You understand? Like with pitchers or whatever, I feel that he probably would go to the pitcher and ask him, how does he feel? Does he feel it's a good situation for him to bat in? And he could probably get some feedback from that or go with a gut instinct. You know, a lot of times Joe is on the sideline. I mean, he's got his little card there, and he's thinking everything through. He doesn't get excited. He doesn't get... I don't think he does a bad job. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Tim, we appreciate you. Yeah, we talked about that card earlier. Joe did not have good options last night. There were not good options on that card with no pitcher that he could trust. You checking yourself out on Tim and Flossmore's call?
No.
You're blushing a little bit.
No, it's all good. I liked the image earlier from the texture about what Joe was looking like as he looked at the card looking for something in the fridge. No, there's something else here.
Yeah.
I know there's a delicious snack here. No, man, there's stuff. Results have been good.
Results have been good.
Three straight LCSs.
Yeah.
You know, they've gotten to three straight LCSs, but man, Joe welcomes the questioning, and it's going to always come. And you know, some guys are better than others. I think Terry Francona is the best in baseball. They're gone. They're completely gone. His team crapped the bed and committed 9 errors. You know? Why did they do that? Is Francona responsible for a poor atmosphere with that happening? His players were asked and defended him like crazy. Sometimes the best managers lose and the second or third or fourth best managers win.
Yeah, and like last night, if you were putting that game on Dusty, like some people were earlier, Wieters had the worst defensive game of his life, and the best pitcher in baseball had one of the worst innings of his life.
Yes.
Come on.
Right.
Come on. Max, that's not on Dusty.
Those things happening in a Max Scherzer inning is not on Dusty.
Not even close.
It's on Matt Wieters. It's on a little bit of Scherzer, and it's on baseball. Just like poker. That's poker. Yeah. That's baseball.
Yeah. Right. He mentioned there's game theory and expected value, and you're trying to give yourself a 2% edge and a 4% edge. And, you know, we hope most of the time talent can overcome that. Sometimes it comes down to that 2%, and sometimes you're on the wrong side.
I was talking with somebody who hates, hey, but that's baseball. And then last night she found herself saying, oh, well, that's baseball, because sometimes it is.
There were lots of people reacting viscerally and emotionally to baseball last night. They called our voicemail, 312-729-3965. Here are the Spiegel and Parkins voicemails over Game 5 of the NLDS.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkins voicemail line.
Hey, this is Johnny Mack. Dusty Baker is going to do us a favor. Scherzer had announced that he's available to pitch. So why not just start the guy? Dusty's doing us a huge favor. And Dusty, we trust you to blow this game. Thank you, Dusty.
This is Steve from Highland, Indiana. Just wanted to call and say, according to all reports, Dylan Cease had a great outing today in the Arizona Instructional League for the Sox. So the rebuild rolling along, baby. Go Sox.
Cool.
Cool.
Cool, cool.
Hey, it's Rob. Let me do 1,000 on the Bears with the points. And another 1,000 on the under. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
You guys, we're 3 runs up right now. Oh, my God. They put in the 2 different colored eyeball men. Oh, he's the savior. Oh, he's going to win us the game. Lights out. Wrong answer. You lose, I hope. Go to the top of the 5th. Base is loaded. Holy sorry for cursing. I am so excited right now. Oh. Bryant, let's go. Oh, okay. We're good. 7-4. Let's go!
I want to party with you.
Hey, Jay Zawoski, you're a handsome devil. Just want to let you know, it feels like a 9-8 game. Manly. Bye.
Jack from Chicago. The Cubs. The luckiest Cubs of bitches. The Cubs fans, I think they don't think. The Cubs. They're a bunch of. They're blue jerseys.
Let the hate flow through you.
Tim from Lake Barrington. Why the heck do you take out Pedro Strop when he is on fire? I will never understand it. Mike Montgomery struggled all series. Carl Edwards Jr. can't throw a strike. You need to save somebody for another game. What the hell is Joe Madden thinking?
Hi, this is Amanda from Naperville. You know, I'm sitting here during the 19th inning of this game, and I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I know our bullpen has been very inconsistent, but there is not a bullpen on earth that could outpitch the management of this game. Joe Madden needs to get his together.
Davis just walked the first 2 batters, the bottom of the 8th, and my heart is going a mile a minute. My hands are clammy. This is the worst feeling I've ever had.
Josh, away to Kansas. Bottom of the 8th, 2-1. Waiters got this. No problem.
Danny, it's Nick from Kansas City. I don't know who this guy named Wade Davis is, but once he went to Chicago, he is not a robot anymore, and he has turned into a total and complete mess. This is the bottom of the 8th, 9-8. You guys can keep Wade Davis.
Don't mind if I do!
My name is Eli. I'm calling from Mendota, Illinois. I'm in the process of watching the 9th inning. I don't think they're going to win this game. I'm going to tell you, I've been watching this game since 7 o'clock. I just don't know what I want to do to myself.
I'm talking to the 67 in the score.
That's my wife talking in the background. She's also pissed off. I got to go.
This is Anthony from Lyle. Now that I've removed my balls from my throat where they have sat for the last 5 hours, I would like to say that the entire Chicago land area needs to go out and buy Jorge Soler jerseys. Wade Davis, you are a god.
Cubs win.
Del Parkins. I'm Dylan Webster from Fairbury, Illinois. And I just want to say, let's fly the W, baby! Go, Cubs, go! Go, Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. Boom! I love it!
End of mailbox.
312-729-3965 is the Spiegel and Parkins voicemail line. It's brought to you by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com.
The healthy emotional vessel that sports is sometimes demands that you scream into the void.
Yeah.
Twitter can be the void. Screaming at people in your room, screaming at the television, we offer you a phone number.
Yeah, there's not always a chance to call Shep up on post at 2:30 in the morning and complain about Kyle Schwarber only getting a single when he hits the ball off the wall. Sometimes you need to vent in the moment, and we're here from you. We want Spiegel and Parkins, the voicemail line, to be on top of mind.
Texture says Amanda from Naperville, call me.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much to get our single male texters attracted to a female voice.
Might so been, our texters.
Yeah, it might have been married also. Yeah, who knows? Just a female voice. It makes people think dirty thoughts.
Still nothing from Becky.
Yeah, sorry, Jay.
The good news is, though, next week when she calls, it does leave the full number. I can just call her. See if she wants to come on and do a live segment.
Good for you. Jay's got a thing for one of the voicemail callers.
I don't. Yes, how come I can't enjoy a female caller? I think she's funny. She brings the best content every week. I have no idea what she looks like, what she's like. I just think she's entertaining.
I have to find her. I have to find her because she tweeted at me. She said, I can't believe I made the montage like a few weeks ago. So I'll find her and send her your way.
It has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman.
It's what if
she provides the best content every week. My wife got mad at me too. You want to hang out with Becky?
Oh, well.
Yes, I do. She looks like fun.
What if she's?
Oh, she looks like fun. You just happen to. That's the one caller you want to bring in studio.
Wow. Sounds like fun.
Look,
yeah.
I don't know what she looks like. Becky's are typically not my type.
Have Becky and Taco Girl ever been seen in the same place?
No, I would not go to a taco place with a girl named Becky working there. Let's be honest. Come on, what kind of taco place is that?
Bequita.
All right, we'll do overs and unders.
Is that racist? I don't think it was racist.
I don't even know. Over and unders next on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You'll only find them here and on our website live right now at SpiegelandParkinsBets.com. Overs and unders, this time for Bears and Cubs.
Over, under, sideways, down, backwards, forwards, square and round. Over, under, sideways, down, backwards, forwards, square and round.
SpiegelandParkinsBets.com. Bears have a game on Sunday against the Ravens. Cubs and Dodgers games 1 and 2 in LA. One piece of NFL news that just came out, Spiegs, with big NFC North implications. Sam Bradford and Stephon Diggs both ruled out for the Vikings.
I feel better about my Packers pick. Whom do I prefer?
Yeah, so Packers already in first place there. That is a big edge to the Packers on the road. All right, we'll start with the Bears over-unders. Jake Plummer's the only rookie quarterback to ever get a road win in Baltimore.
I learned this from you, Danny Parkins.
In the entire history of the Ravens, opposing rookie quarterbacks have only accounted for 3 touchdowns in Baltimore, passing or running. So, Mitch Trubisky, touchdowns accounted for, over-under, 1.5.
So that's running or passing for Trubisky. I can't go out and assume that Trubisky will get 2/3 of the all-time touchdowns by rookie quarterbacks, whether they were Browns quarterbacks or not. It's still a crazy stat. No, I'll go under on 1.5.
Mitch! Mitch! Ah! Going over.
Yeah!
You want it?
Yeah!
What's next?
Tanner Gentry targets, baby. Your boy Mitchell's pal since minicamp gets his shot again. He's got Guagi skills. How many times will Mitchell look for him? 3.5 is your number. Over or under on Tanner Gentry targets?
I'll take the over. He'll go with familiarity. I don't know about completions or yards or production, but throw him the football, I'll take the over.
Me too. Deep shots, baby. Deep shots. Let's go.
Sam Rosen is doing the game.
This is the worst hockey game I've ever seen.
Cool.
Cool.
Cool, cool.
With Rondae Barber, Sam Rosen misspeaks are a lock, but how many? The over-under has been set at 3.5. I'm glad I'm not the judge on this one.
Yeah, that means I'll have to watch with paying a lot of attention, listening to Sam Rosen do his thing. I'll go under on 3.5. I think Rondae Barber's got him on his toes. Jim Miller might be a problem for Sam Rosen.
Yeah, I'll take the under there as well.
All right, let's go to Cubs games 1 and 2 versus the Dodgers in L.A. Who the hell can you trust in this bullpen other than what we decided is a vampire cyborg hybrid closer in Wade Davis, especially from the right side? We don't know what the roster's going to be, how many different right-handed relievers who are not named Wade Davis will be used by the Cubs this weekend. So I'm looking for total number of right-handed relievers used who are not Wade Davis in the two games this weekend. I'm setting the number at 2.5. So essentially I'm granting you Strope and either Edwards or Rondon. Do they go to 3 other than Davis?
It's a lefty-dominant lineup. I could see them going away from one of those. Rondon isn't going to be on the roster, we assume, but Edwards, how do you go to him? And he just pitched 5 games in a row. I'll take the under on 2.5.
All right, I'm going over because of necessity. I don't know how much Wade's going to be able to go, and how deep are Quintana and Lester going to be able to go if that's who the two are after essentially their side days. So I go over on 2.5.
Two left-handed starters will go for the Dodgers, and Jason Hayward has obviously been horrible at the plate against lefties especially, but they love playing Jason Hayward for his leadership, intangibles, base running, and defense. Total defensive innings for Jason Hayward in the two games in L.A. set the over-under at 12 2/3 innings.
Now, that's interesting. So does he start both games against the lefties? I hope not, but I think
he started, 4 of 5 against the Nationals? We thought he might not start the Geo game, and then
right,
he came back in there and he did start game 5.
I'm going to go under on 12 2/3. I think there's at least one game that he doesn't start, and even if he finishes them both, he won't play 4 2/3 in the other one. So I'll go under on 12 2/3.
Yeah, I'm starting one of the two, so I'll take the under there as well.
All right, Chris Bryant had a K-filled series against the Nationals. 10 strikeouts in 5 games, 6 in a row at one point. Total Ks for Bryant this weekend, 3.5 is your number.
I'll take the over.
I'll take the under against the two lefties. I'm hoping that Bryant rises to the contact occasion.
10 Ks in 5 games, you know? It doesn't mean he won't be productive, but I think he strikes out 4 times. As of this writing, we don't know if John Lackey will start a game, but the pitching staff is very much in flux. He probably gets into a game at some point this weekend. Over under John Lackey innings pitched, 4 1/3.
Yee, boy. You know me, I said I would go with Lackey on Saturday.
Yeah, you want to start him game 1. I want to start Quintana.
Yeah, but even if he starts, I could I couldn't see Joe's hand. All right, that's enough after a little while. I guess I'll go under on 4 1/3.
Yeah, I'm on the under because to me, start Quintana and Lester. So I'm going under there. Last one, you got to make it quick.
Two games to start the NLCS this weekend. Simply put, will they get one? Wins by the Cubs, 0.5 is your number.
When baseball zigs, it zags, right? It's impossible to predict. Yeah, they're underdogs here significantly in game 1. I'll say they win one game and get the split on the road.
I'm with you. Split coming home on Monday. SpiegelandParkinsBets.com. You can register with just an email address and play along. SpiegelandParkinsBets.com.
We'll talk about the craziness from last night and the big Chicago sports weekend with Bears-Ravens and two games in the NLCS with Bernstein and Goff next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.